Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, Managing Editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen, your co-host.
Let's secure for sea and get underway at Home Business TV. We love startups. Home business is all about our viewers and listeners getting their hands dirty starting up a business. And Tanya Lee has certainly gotten her hands dirty in a fascinating and interesting industry, record labels and recording.
Tanya Lee is a DJ, producer, engineer, and co-founder of Omen Recordings. She has an extensive career in music and the techno scene. She was instrumental in launching the Minneapolis, Minnesota underground dance scene. She was one half of the DJ duo known as Complicit. Currently, she is based in Minneapolis and continues to support the scene by releasing, performing, and producing techno. This past year, she performed all over the United States, Canada, and Mexico.
So, greetings, Tanya Lee. Say hello to our podcast audience.
Hello. Hi, Richard. Hi, Sherilyn. And hello from Minneapolis.
Thanks for coming on our show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, all engines ahead standard. At the end of today's show today, we'll share with you our best home-based business tips. Today's tip, what is the single best way to get a reply from a sales email you send to a new prospect? Stay tuned and we'll give you the answer. So Tanya Lee, we look forward to hearing your war stories and advice on starting up and succeeding as a small business owner. Tanya, what is the best first step when deciding to start a new business?
Oh, that's a great question, Richard. I would have to say the best first step is taking advice from very successful people and surrounding yourself by your mentors. And when you reach out to your advisors, you know, they will help nurture you to be a much better leader. I always try to do my best to get out in the industry, whether it's in music performance, music education, just so I'm able to connect with the right people and learn from them, because they've made those mistakes before and you can, you know, certainly learn from what they've done. And nobody knows everything. So, you know, definitely don't come off as a big know-it-all when you first start, you know, in the first step. But one thing I do try to be is very humble and looking for advice to people that have been doing it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, so being in the recording industry, you probably had some pretty interesting mentors.
Any to
share in particular, or any good stories there?
Oh, let's see. I can share a lot of good stories, but I would have to say my most favorite story is a mentor that I had as a teacher and as an instructor. And this happened back in 1998 when I was going to music school and studying recording. But it was an instructor by the name of Jack that really opened so many doors for me and helped nurture me and gave me the guidance to learn the technology that I needed to succeed. And I think teachers are a very, very important part of our lives. They teach what they know, and they are also, in a way, our very important mentors.
Yeah, you talk mentors, and they kind of fall into two different categories. One being mentors specific to your industry, and others being mentors that just help you in general with the business. Have you experienced this, where you had mentors that were good for operating your business and showing you how to operate your business, and then you also had mentors that were good for the entertainment industry?
Absolutely. And as I'm currently running a record label, it's really important that I stay in touch with other label owners and I keep those friendships as close as I can. There's a handful of wonderful US-based record labels that are doing some similar things as us. And almost on a daily basis, I'm reaching out to those people, asking them, hey, how did you do this? And what are your thoughts about this? And it's very important to, I think, get that feedback from other people that are doing it. So yeah, definitely in the label industry, I like to keep those friendships close.
So it sounds like you keep in touch, you keep in regular touch with your mentors, which is probably a good thing when you know, something comes up and you really need their advice. You kept those relationships with them.
I agree. Networking is key. And also, you know, developing that good rapport and relationships with people, because people need people. You can't always do this on your own. So always good to be humble and be willing to share those ideas. And
that's for sure.
I enjoy collaboration.
It's good to have that support system. Okay, so you have to get started with a pitch, maybe even an elevator pitch for prospective customers and interested investors. Startups need investors too. Tanya, what do you think is the best pitch to present to curious customers and interested investors?
Ah, that's a great question. To answer that, I would have to say try to keep it brief. And also, you know, making sure that you can clearly describe the pitch of your business and exactly what you do. If you talk too long, you may lose their interest a little bit. So I try to remember that less is more. Mm-hmm. So I would have to say, you know your mission, understand your service, understand your goals that you're trying to reach. And depending on the person, you have to kind of shape that pitch. Again, depending on who you're speaking with. If I'm speaking with a label owner, that pitch is going to be a lot different than if I'm speaking to a DJ out on the dance floor in a loud club. Mm-hmm. So just know your mission, be confident, and always have a business card.
So a good point there. When you talk about the pitch, and you know, having an elevator pitch and talking, you keep it brief. You know, think back on Shakespeare: brevity is the soul of wit. And you keep your pitch within your mind. I mean, you're ready. It's not just something you put out on email. You have it ready to address personally when you meet somebody, either, you know, somebody within your industry or a record label producer, whoever is you're meeting with. Mm-hmm. You then tailor and target your pitch to your audience and then you keep it brief.
Exactly. Like, I'll give you an example. So like the record label that I'm currently running, Omen Recordings, the philosophy of our label is to support producers and DJs to release their music without the help of major record labels. The live musical experience of Omen focuses on darker explorations of sound with modern technology, but also influences of the analog past. We're looking for emotional intensity to bring to the dance floor, but the intention is to build and develop a catalog of talent for and looking for artists that can truly deliver a new and unique sound. Quality music infused with the spirit is very important to us.
So we're not talking ballroom dancing here. Sounds fascinating. I mean, a key thing is, you know, we talk small businesses, home businesses. One thing we always mention is niches.
Yes.
You know, instead of just being broadly focused in the music industry, you're homing in on a profitable, prosperous niche that then become the expert and people recognize you as somebody in this niche within the recording industry.
Exactly, Richard. And it's a niche that you need to study and be aware of every day and immerse yourself into it. I think it's very important that you know what you do and you do what you know.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. Hey, before moving on to our next topic, I'd like to highlight this show's sponsor, Safety Technology. Start a home-based business marketing non-lethal and defense products. Work with Safety Technology, the industry leader for 29 years. Sell through shows, home parties, swap markets, auction sites, and your own e-commerce website. For more information, visit www.helpdefendpeople.com or the podcast website for more information on sponsors. Okay, Tony, you want to make a wise choice when choosing a business to start. One that builds on your strengths and accommodates your weaknesses, to not get lured into something just because it looks sexy. Tanya, any way to know if the business you choose will be successful? You know, how did you get that feeling that it would be successful before you jumped into the pool?
I knew it was successful even before the business even started. And the reason for that is because I'm very happy investing in the process in everything that I do with music. It's something that you need to enjoy and be very happy managing day in in, day out. I try to live as best as I can in the present, not thinking too much with the future. Well, you have to, but you can't control too much of the future. And we learn from our past, certainly. But I live in the present. I live in the moment. And it feels right in my heart. And I enjoy doing it every day with passion. Then I know it's going to be successful. And I've been very fortunate that since ever the age of 5, I've been involved with music. And it's something I've never let go. So I've had confidence with it for a long time.
So it kind of sounds like you were, you know, you just, for whatever the reason, subconsciously it feels good, and you're comfortable with the direction you went in for a startup. And, you know, in other words, you didn't necessarily go through a specific checklist and, you know, and analyze it per se. You just got familiar with it. Of course, you enjoyed doing it. And then when it felt right and the opportunities lined up properly, you know, then you jumped in and launch and launch these businesses.
Yes, and I also recognize too, Richard, kind of a void that was in the United States, where I just felt there was a need, a necessary for this type of label. I have done a lot of research and I haven't found too many darker industrial techno-like labels that I'm running. So that does make our business quite unique. And, but yeah, like you said, it's not about looking sexy and boasting in large profits. It's something that you need to really have a passion and quite a joy for.
Yeah, our readers, you know, listeners might find this a little interesting. We're using the term darker, you don't mean that. You mean that with, of course, let's just talk about that a little bit within the context of the record label you're in. That's sure. A certain genre or, you know, niche of music. And I guess it's exploded and grown in popularity in the techno scene. Any comments on that? Because I think that's a fascinating niche that you're in.
It is, and it's bigger in Europe than it is in the United States. And I'll let you know that the artists that I work with and sign, the majority of them are over in Europe. A couple of them are in Berlin, France, Spain, Italy. We have worked with some US-based artists, but the niche is very big over in Europe, which is why I'm excited to work with artists all over the world. However, because of this, it has brought more awareness into the United States. And I've actually booked some of these artists and I brought them to the United States so our US listeners can now hear them and see them and meet them. And because of that, it has really helped grow the niche a little better for me here in the United States.
Yeah, it seems like Berlin is a little bit on the cutting edge, and the wave starts there. It's really a fascinating business that you're in, but it reinforces the key rules of success. Being a home-based entrepreneur, a small business owner, is find that niche, find that need, and fill it.
Exactly.
So kind of on a side note, when you were starting to begin your journey becoming a DJ and becoming the co-founder of Omen Recordings, were there any side projects that you did to supplement your income or any small side businesses or jobs you took?
That's a great question, Sherilyn. And yes, as an entrepreneur, you will find that it's important to wear many hats in this industry. I wish I could just sit at my piano all day long and play. But I know in reality that I need to understand business, I need to understand recording, distribution, copyright laws, et cetera, in order to be successful. So along with the label, I have done multiple things. Yes, DJing is one of them, gigging and performing. I also write and produce and release music, and you can find some of my releases on Beatport, beatport.com. Also, I'm a teacher. I'm involved with an amazing nonprofit organization called Beats by Girls. I actually launched an LA chapter for Beats by Girls. And what it is it helps support our young women in the industry that may not have the financial means to learn music, but we help support these young women all the way from the ages of 8 to 18. And I also do a Beats by Ladies class for our more experienced users. And I feel teaching has given me such a wonderful experience of giving back, and it has made me a better producer. When you start to learn how to explain things to people, it just helps your craft get more sharpened up. And I'm really happy that Beats by Girls here in Minneapolis has kept me very busy. I teach Ableton Live courses, I teach DJ courses, and in addition, Sherilyn, I also teach private lessons. I just had a lesson last night with a 14-year-old named Lucian, and he's never touched some music software in his life. And within 1 hour, I had him producing a hip-hop track, and it was
All right, we're going to see him headlining something in about 5 years. So it's, you know, some of the things you're talking about there is you're spreading your wealth, you're leveraging, along with being a teacher and providing you're also building up your credibility. And so, although that isn't your intent in doing these things, it does lead to long-term business development as people, they worked with you before in some capacity and they circle back and the next thing they have some kind of business they would like to do with you. So that's an important point to bring out, that you're building that credibility that builds your reputation for referrals and referral business. And we always emphasize that as being the best way to grow your business through referrals.
Correct. I absolutely agree. I feel that you should be looked at as the expert in the industry that you work in. And if you can share ideas, tips and tricks, teach, that just brings your credibility to such a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
All right, so moving forward, money is important and there's never enough of it for a new startup, no matter what the startup amount. No one gives you money because they like you. So Tanya, unfortunately not, please share some investment advice for a startup. How much of an investment should go into a new business?
That's a great question, Sherilyn. And I wish people would give me money because I'm cute.
No. Sad story.
Well, hopefully our new video podcast will help with that.
And yes, and be ready for no one to invest in you right up front. So invest in the process. And I think it's important to scale down on those pricey plans. When I first started promoting label showcases, and what that means is events where I would get a venue, book DJs, host a show, all of that. There is a budget. So I start with a budget and I really work within that as best as I can, simplifying the idea until it's manageable in the early stage venture. So I guess you could say try your best to work on a shoestring budget. And I think it's important to really demonstrate your worth before seeking investment.
A tip of a problem that a lot of home businesses have getting started is, they set this startup budget, they do the good things you're talking about with budgeting and planning it out, and they, they look at a 6-month window, but they burn through cash so much faster than they had planned, even padding the numbers a little bit. Did you experience that at all, where, expenses were, your startup expenses were, far more in certain areas than you thought, and then you kind of had to adjust quickly, or
certainly. And the best example I can give with that is when we released our first vinyl record, and vinyl records are very expensive to make, the pressing and the mastering and, the covers and the artwork and all of that goes into it. And at first I thought, oh yeah, this is going to be great. And then I realized, really how much of a large investment that was up front. However, I got a little smarter about it as we move forward, and I realized, no, you don't have to print that many records, Tanya. Let's scale back a little bit, and understand how many records you really intend on selling and things. But yes, I certainly have experienced that, but it's definitely a mistake I'm never going to make again.
Well, I think all startups make them somewhere. Sure. I know on all little business I've started, the cost, there's never been a cost that's come in under what I estimated. And yes. So you just got to roll with those bow waves. As we would say in the military, plan your hunt and hunt your plan. And your plan is only good until the first shot is fired. Planning is critical to business success. Tanya, how did you prepare your business plans? Or is there any good advice you can share about making your plans effective and back to that original point, they've got to be, you know, they've got to be simple so they're usable. You know, exactly. Any advice there?
Exactly. Well, just know that there's no such thing as a perfect plan. Mm-hmm. And there's no perfect road or, you know, one less traveled. I try not to jump into any business without some kind of planning or thinking around it. But I do feel that when you're tested under fire and when you're going through some of those experiences under fire, it really does shape and make you a better entrepreneur. Like I said, always learn from your mistakes and never make those same mistakes twice. I didn't spend years thinking about Omen Recordings. I actually only spent probably a few months on it, you know, thinking about the idea, tossing it around. But I talked to a lot of people about it, mentors, and my support system of, you know, making sure that, you know, I was making the right decision. And I still don't have an exact path because it changes every day. The ideas are always changing, and especially in the music industry, the way the technology changes and things, you really need to move like water around these business plans. Definitely there, we have an outline, you know, set of what our 1-year plan, 5-year plan and things, but a lot of it just kind of the gaps just get filled as we move along and we test different things, try out different things. But as we move forward and our popularity grows, then, you know, more of our investors get more interested. I'll give you a great example. We threw an event in for a huge electronic music festival last year in Detroit. It was very well attended. We did really well. We broke even. We didn't lose, but we did well. However, what I'm really excited about this year is that we already are selling tickets. They're flying out the door because they remember that experience from last year. Mm-hmm. And so we already planted that seed. And now the second time around, it's going to be even bigger and better. So it's a process, takes some time and patience.
Well, that's a good nugget to bring out for startups because, you know, it costs so much more to do something the first time than it does, whatever it is, whether it's a rock show or whatever. And then, you know, so you know, if you break even the first time, when you go to do it the second time because of efficiencies and doing things better, doing things more productively, you know, that's one of the reasons why startup funding is so tough is because you've got those learning curves that you got to build in. So, you know, that's a good point to bring out that, you know, you broke even the first time, but that built the foundation for the next run of it.
Yes. Now, it's important to note that being an entrepreneur is a lifestyle choice. It's not just about small business operations, selling, and managing all the nuts and bolts. You have to manage yourself, adopt a success mindset, and every facet of how you live. So, Tanya, what are some secrets to succeeding as a home-based business owner and entrepreneur and living healthy?
That's a great question, Sherilyn. And yes, I agree. It is a lifestyle. Not every day is going to be the same. It's going to change for you quite a bit. So it's important that you really do keep a positive mind. I admit I do go through some stresses every now and then, but I try to turn that around into a really positive way. And I think it's important too not to work yourself to exhaustion. Otherwise, you won't get anything done and not be productive. So be ready for, you know, long meetings, late night hours, maybe some traveling and things. And especially when it comes to networking, I find myself out very late at night, but that's when the business decisions are made. That's when the great conversations come up, is usually at a bar on a napkin writing something. It usually doesn't happen inside the office. So you definitely need to be flexible and like I said, just take time for yourself too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, like walking in the Navy was walking around the deck plates, is that's where you found everything out. And it's the same, I think, with any business. You just got to get out there and,
yes,
and interact. What about like balance? Do you make sure you build in some exercise time or self time, or you just kind of take it day to day, whatever
Absolutely. I try to keep as healthy as I can. Just a little personal information about myself. I'm a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. I run. I'm a long distance runner. I like long walks. Even in this cold winter days, I love to bundle up and just go on my long walks. I also think spending time with close friends is also very important, that social aspect of talking to people. Because as those stresses come upon you, the best thing you can do is just to let it out with a good friend, talk it over, and most importantly is just keeping that positive mind.
How's that cat? How about that cat? Does that cat help at all? A stress kitty.
The little kitty, Littlefoot. Yeah, she's around here somewhere. I think she might be a little nervous right now with the microphone. But
maybe next time.
But yes, having a kitten in the household is a very important factor of being a successful entrepreneur.
So, kitten and cat. Also, back to your lifestyle choices. Do you have set hours when you work, or is it just kind of when you feel most productive and feel most motivated?
That's a great question. I try to structure my time as it makes me more productive when I have goals set in front of me. If you don't reach your daily goals, you're not going to reach your weekly goals. And if you don't do that, you won't reach your monthly goals and your yearly goals. So every minute is important. However, you do want to take care of yourself. So if I had a late night, I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to take care of myself and maybe start my work day at around 11 o'clock.
No problem with that. No problem. I'm going to get into recording industry.
I'm going to push my day back a little bit. But yes, I try to keep a structure where, for example, when I first wake up and after I have coffee, that's when I'm most productive creatively. My mind is alert. I feel more focused and I have more creative ideas. So between the hours of like 10 a.m. and 1 p.m., that's when I'm producing music. Mm-hmm. Later in the afternoon, when I'm feeling a little bit less creative, then I'll do some business stuff, maybe packaging up some records and taking them off to the post office and doing some shipments or sending some emails or writing up a Facebook event page or all kinds of little administrative things that can be done in there. So I try to focus my time of the way my body feels. So I like to be creative in the morning. I do administrative things late in the afternoon, early evening. And then the social little butterfly in me for the networking, I know, comes out at night. And that's when I hit the venues and go out and socialize and talk with my mentors and do it all over again.
It's part of the business. Well, Tanya, this has been a great discussion, sharing advice on your own small business success. Do you have any final points to share with our viewers?
Eat an apple every day.
I eat an apple every single day. It's like an addiction.
Yes, but I want to thank you so much for having me. This was a great opportunity. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Sherilyn. Thank you, Shanna. I really appreciate this.
Tanya Lee, thank you for being such a great guest on Home Business Podcast.
You're welcome.
It's been wonderful.
Thank you.
To learn more about Tanya Lee, visit omenrecordings.com or visit our podcast website at homebusinessmag.com for more information.
Okay, the answer to today's home business tip. What is the best way to get a reply from a sales email you send to a new prospect? No matter what your business or industry, keep your emails brief. State your call to action in the first or second sentence and include it in your subject line. In today's environment of information overload, you cannot count on more than a sentence or two of your emails ever even being read. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe free to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit homebusinessmag.com or the Home Business Expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen. We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.